Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 38 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Mark Bird. Mark teaches theology, philosophy, and apologetics at God's Bible School and College in Cincinnati, Ohio. He is an author or co-author of several books on theology and religion, including Defending Your Faith, a 12-week series on apologetics. He has an MA in theology from Wesley Biblical Seminary and a DMin with an apologetics focus from Grace Theological Seminary. In the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Mark has written an article for our Effective Evangelism column called Engaging Unbelievers Philosophically. Mark, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be on, Melanie.
Well, I have to tell everyone about how I met Mark. We were actually seated next to each other on a plane after we had both attended the same theological conference last fall, and I was really glad that I struck up a conversation with Mark because I have a terrible fear of flying, and so Mark and I chatted for a couple of hours on our flight, and one of the results of that conversation was this article. So I'm really glad providentially that I was seated next to him, because this is a great article that we've published in the Volume 40, Number 2 issue. So I want to start off, Mark, by asking you a little bit about the Socratic method of teaching and having a conversation with someone. Could you kind of break that down for us?
Yeah, I like to use that approach. Of course, you know, the Socratic method is using questions to lead someone to the truth. It's not just asking questions. It's kind of guiding the conversation to help someone come to good conclusions. And I think it's better to do it that way than just tell people what you think or tell them what they should think. It's good to help them come to their own conclusions.
Well, can you also explain, like you were talking to me on the plane about, how you think that apologetics and philosophy specifically relate to one another, and how it relate to using this kind of method in conversing with someone?
Yeah, Christian apologetics is, you know, the defense of the faith. It's presenting evidence for the validity of Christianity, and use philosophy, which is the attempt to think rationally and critically about the most important questions. You use that system to construct good arguments and to refute false arguments, and I find it helpful to use these basic ideas in philosophy to show people the framework, to guide the conversation, so that we're answering questions from a biblical and Christian perspective. Questions that people are asking already, but they're so confused. And apologetics and philosophy fit together very nicely there.
Can you, I know we talked about this too, it's like, you know, some Christians aren't as familiar with philosophy, and so can you explain a little bit some of the major branches of philosophy, and then what kind of questions do those branches answer?
Yeah, metaphysics is the study of the nature of reality. So the big question that it answers is, what is real? Of course, related questions as well. And then epistemology is the study of the nature of knowledge, and it answers the question, what is true, along with related questions. So what is real, what is true? And then axiology is the study of the nature of value. It answers the question, what is right? So what is real, what is true, what is right? These are big questions, and those are the three major content areas of philosophy. Then there's logic, the study of the principles of reasoning, which answers the question, how do we think? And logic is the tool that we use to discuss to work in the content areas of philosophy.
So how can understanding how to answer these big questions, like you were saying, what is true and what is right, how can understanding how to answer those from a biblical perspective help Christians when they're trying to engage unbelievers?
Well, it's important to know the categories in which we all think and to have some idea of where unbelievers, how unbelievers would answer those big questions, and to know the right answers to those questions so that we can help transition an unbeliever from the wrong answers to the right ones. Make sense?
Well, yeah. So this particular article is engaging unbelievers philosophically. So if you're trying to engage them, what kind of philosophical questions should we ask them?
Well, I like to ask them questions like, what is truth? What is knowledge? Can something come from nothing? What would be your answers to the three great philosophical questions of life? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Things like that, to get them to start thinking about the big questions.
That seems kind of heavy. I mean, how would I start the conversation with people? Like, I can't imagine just, you know, that's like, where did you come from? I mean, they seem like they are big questions. So how can we naturally start those kind of deep conversations with people?
Okay, well, lots of different ways. One way that I do this is just to simply, you know, in the small talk, I'll just say, hey, you know, where did you go to school? Have you gone to college? Have you taken a philosophy course? And if they have, then I'll say something like, well, you know, I teach philosophy, and, you know, I like to ask people philosophical questions and see how they answer them. So how would you answer, say, the question of truth? What is knowledge to you? Or how would you answer, you know, where did we come from as a human race? Where did we come from? And so this is a question of origins, or why are we here? The question of purpose, or where are we going? And just to see what they're interested in talking about, and then from there, depending on how they answer, then move the conversation in one direction or another.
It seems to me that especially the question like what is true, I mean, today's people don't think that means the same thing as it's always meant. I mean, in last year, the Oxford Dictionaries had the word post-truth as their word of the year. So how can you help unbelievers understand what truth is and why the fact that now we're just post-truth and truth is whatever emotionally makes me feel like I think is true?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the big reason that I try to use this approach, because truth is not only relative in our culture, it has become largely irrelevant. You know, what's the point if we all just create our own truth, then why does it even matter anymore? So that's why I'll start with these foundational questions to lay some foundation for seeking the truth, you know, the truth about reality, the real truth. And so what I'll do is I'll say, I'll ask them to define truth. And if they say, well, truth is what you believe, which is typical, then I'll ask, well, is it possible to believe something that's false? If they agree with that, then I'll ask, well, what makes something true or false? So then I'll use an illustration like my favorite one is, if I made the statement, it's raining outside, right here, right now, you know, look out the window, it's raining outside, is that a true statement or a false statement? If they say, if it's not actually raining outside, then they'll say, well, that's a false statement. Then I'll say, well, why is it false? Well, it's false because it's not actually raining. Right, right. So truth isn't what you believe. Truth is that which corresponds with reality. So I'll help them. The reason I'll ask, so if truth is that which corresponds with reality, then is truth something that you create or something that you discover? Okay, and so it's like, oh, okay, well, then it's something that you discover. Yeah, so they can agree with that. And then I'll encourage them to be a seeker of the truth about reality, even the truth about the big questions of life, for which there are objective answers. There are real answers to these big questions that I want to cultivate as a desire for them to pursue.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Mark Bird, who wrote the Effective Evangelism article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Engaging Unbelievers Philosophically. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. You were just talking about engaging unbelievers with these philosophical questions like, what is true? So just expanding from that, how do you help unbelievers understand what knowledge is, how they would know something is true? I mean, why do you talk to them about that specifically?
Knowledge is justified true belief, and I want them to know that definition, because a lot of times I'll say, you know, what is knowledge? And one time someone said, well, knowledge is power. Okay. Well, we've all heard that before. But what does knowledge really mean? That's a nice saying, but what does it mean? And so I'll help them to understand that knowledge is true belief or justified true belief. And then I'll explain that by drawing a diagram that shows belief and truth overlapping. So if you can visualize that, so you have two circles, and in the middle is knowledge in the overlap between belief and truth. So I'll say that there are some things that we might believe that aren't true, and there are many things that are true that correspond with reality, because we've already defined that maybe, but that we don't know yet. So our knowledge can increase as we embrace more and more truth. Okay? Because I want to, again, cultivate a desire in them to acquire more knowledge about the things that really matter, and that this knowledge can be objectively true. It's real knowledge. It's not fake knowledge.
So kind of going from bigger and kind of coming, more, directed, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to be able to share the gospel with people. But, I mean, most people, if you start out with that, that just might not be as effective. So, for example, how would you help, just going from those big questions, kind of coming in a little bit more specifically, how would you help an unbeliever understand, for example, that the universe has a first cause?
Well, if they tend to be, if it looks like they're agnostic or atheist or believe in naturalistic evolution, which you'd pick up on if you asked the question, where did we come from? Maybe say, well, we evolved and all that. Well, then I'll try to go down that path and I'll say, well, do you believe or do you agree with the majority of scientists who think that the universe has a beginning, the Big Bang? And most people say, yeah. So then I'll ask if they think that something can come from nothing. Do you think that something can come from nothing? Well, no. Now, your hardcore might try to wiggle out of that, but no, generally. So if they say no, then I'll say, so if something now exists, then something must have always existed to bring the universe into existence, right? Because something cannot come from nothing, then there has to be something that existed previous to the universe to bring the universe into existence. So if they can agree with that, again, I'm using the Socratic method to guide the conversation, help them to draw better conclusions than they previously had. So if they say yes, then I'll ask, well, what qualities does this something need? What did it need to bring about the universe? When did it have to have a lot of power, a lot of intelligence? And a lot of people will go along with that. Well, yeah, it seems like they'd have to have, okay, well, all right, well, call that whatever you want. I call that being God, And so you can kind of go down that road, and then you can talk about, what, you know, the competing views of God and why the theistic understanding of a God is superior, and among those views, why Christianity may be superior. So anyway, you just go down that path.
So how do you get from that all the way down to the gospel? How would you, first of all, define the gospel, and then how, in the midst of all that, do you work the gospel naturally into a philosophical discussion?
Okay, there's a couple different ways. Okay, what the gospel is. I've recently done a study into the meaning of the gospel and came up with four aspects. The person, okay, who's the God-man, Jesus Christ. The person, the work, what he did, died and rose again from the dead. Okay, the results or the benefit, which is salvation from sin, power, the presence, and penalty of sin, and the response, the appropriate response, how we appropriate the salvation. That's part of the gospel message. So the gospel is the good news that Jesus, the God-man, died on the cross and rose bodily from the dead to bring salvation to all who believe. Now that's good news because it presupposes the bad news that we're sinners and we're you know, judgment is coming. And, you know, so the good news, the gospel is good news because we can be saved from the penalty, power, and presence of sin and enter into relationship with God that we were created for. So that's the gospel. Well, you know, that's pretty potent stuff, and maybe it's pretty new to someone who has maybe never heard. And so, you know, using philosophy, you can finally get to the point where they can understand that there must be a God out there that made them, and then tell them that the Bible, I'm giving you one way here real quick, the Bible, the basic message of the Bible addresses, it's interesting that it addresses those three big philosophical questions of life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? So how does it do that? Well, where did we come from? Well, God made us. That's the origin. That's our origin. Okay, he made us. Why? He made us for a love relationship. That's the purpose. And if we turn away from our sin and put our trust in Jesus, the one who died and rose again for our salvation, we can go to heaven and not hell. So that's the destiny. That's where we will go. So you can relate, you can use the three big questions of life to show that the Christians have the answer to that. The basic message of the Bible is that. The other thing you can do is when you come down to contrasting different worldviews, different religions, the different options, you talk about, well, they can't all be true. Because you talk, maybe you've already talked about the law of non-contradiction, that not all religions could be true because they conflict with each other, they contradict each other. Well, what's the best option there? Well, the resurrection of Jesus is really good to bring up here because that would be one way to determine if the resurrection of Jesus actually happened in history, in time and space, then the Christian view of God would be the correct view of God. So I encourage people to look at the evidence for the resurrection. Because if the resurrection actually occurred, if it really did occur, the resurrection of Jesus really occurred, then the ramifications of that are huge. It means that Jesus is who he said he was. It means he's the only way to God. It means that he did conquer death, that we can have life. It means that Christianity is true. So they may not be ready to accept the resurrection right now, but I want to encourage them to consider the claims, to consider that as an historical fact, to look at the evidence for it, and to see the ramifications of that, which, of course, are tied into the gospel.
Well, thanks. That's very practical and helpful. So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Mark. So Mark, bacon or sausage?
Bacon.
Do you do your own taxes?
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive. Do you play an instrument?
Guitar.
And what's one of your favorite hobbies?
Oh, I like to talk to people about God, I guess.
That's a great great hobby to have. And if you could travel back in time, where would you go?
Well, go see John on the island of Patmos. That would be kind of an awesome setting to experience.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Well, thanks, Mark, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast. Mark Bird has written the Effective Evangelism article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal called Engaging Unbelievers Philosophically. To read his article, subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate our podcast. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.